And now, 6:30! This is Dick Tracy on the case of the poisonous timber. Stand by for action. Let's go, men.
Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order.
We'll listen to today's Dick Tracy adventure in just a minute. 170 years ago today, there occurred an event that will always live in American history. It was on December 19th, 1777, that General George Washington took his army of 11,000 men to Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. From your history lessons, most of you know how the men suffered from the hunger and the cold, how they tied rags around their bleeding feet to protect them from ice and snow. In spite of difficulties, Washington and his poorly clothed army stayed at Valley Forge. There they were in a position to protect Congress from the British. The Continental Congress was then located at York, Pennsylvania. Although the men suffered horribly from the elements, they were turned into a well-drilled and disciplined army under the training of Baron Steuben. After 7 months, they entered Valley Forge. They were able to reoccupy the important city of Philadelphia, which had been in the hands of the British. Just think, boys and girls, 170 years ago today, the fate of our country, the United States of America, rested in the hands of General George Washington and an army of only 11,000 men.
And now, Dick Tracy.
Called to the Northwoods on a complaint by Cutter Down, wealthy lumber tycoon, that he was a victim of a frame-up, Dick Tracy and Pat Patton have now begun to feel that Cutter is himself the criminal. Going to an abandoned sawmill to get possession of a lease that Cutter Down is suspected of forging, they found the old safe had been recently broken open and its contents removed. They were about to leave the mill when Pat Patton saw an old-fashioned water wheel and decided to get inside it. But he had no sooner done this when the wheel began to turn, trapping Pat inside on a steadily speeding treadmill.
Dick, you've got to stop the wheel. I can't run any faster and I can't get out through the smoke.
There's no way to shut off the water in time. I've got to try and jam the wheel. Get set, Pat. I'm going to shove this board into the smoke.
Okay, but hurry.
It's no use. The spokes shear off this board like matchwood. If I only had a pipe or a piece of metal.
I have, Tracy. Step aside.
What the? Where did you come from?
No time for that now. He loses his footing and falls into the spoke to be chewed to mincemeat. This rifle barrel may stop the wheel.
Fire, that's our only hope.
I don't think I can stop it, but I may be able to throw it enough for him to jump out.
Watch it, Pat. Jump when you think you can make it.
If I've got enough strength to jump.
The barrel's starting to bend. I'll never get it any slower than this.
I'm afraid you're right. Pat, you'll have to try it now.
All right. Man in sight.
Well, what do you know? I made it.
Yeah, and as pretty a swan dive onto a wooden floor as I ever saw.
Oh, brother, look at that wheel spin now.
Oh, boy, it'd be just too bad if you were still in there. Well, mister, I guess we owe you quite a lot of thanks.
Green's the name. Horace Green.
I know. I recognize you. May I see that rifle?
Why not?
25-35, eh? This your only rifle?
It was my only rifle. The way the barrel's bent, it's only useful for shooting around corners now.
It is a little on the wavy side.
And now that I've got nothing to defend myself with, I suppose you'll be arresting me.
No, I think not.
What?
Say, let's get away from this infernal water wheel so that we can hear ourselves think.
Yeah, good idea. Now, I don't want you to take pity on me just because I saved your pal's life.
Mister, you're barking up the wrong tree. That's the kind of thing I do. But Richard here doesn't know the meaning of the word pity when he's dealing with criminals.
You both misunderstand me. I'm acting strictly within the law.
Elucidate.
Well, Pat, our job was to arrest Forrest Green on a charge of misappropriating Christmas trees. But Cutter Down withdrew that charge.
Sure, but we've been deputized to find the killer of Pierre.
Quite so. But the local sheriff didn't name Forrest Green by name. No, he told us to capture a person or persons unknown who, by means of a .38 caliber bullet, did commit a homicide on the person of one Pierre the Trapper. As you can plainly see, Forrest Green isn't carrying a .38 caliber rifle.
Stated with all the finesse of a first-rate actor. You're picking up new tricks.
Maybe so, Pat, but it's also entirely legal. Nobody's actually sworn out a murder charge against Forrest Green. Until they do, we're under no obligation to arrest him.
Well, where's the hooker, Tracy? What do I have to do in return?
tell me, Green, why are you so suspicious of everybody?
I think I've got a pretty good right to be suspicious. I'm the victim of one of the neatest frame-ups of all time.
And that's just why I'm not arresting you. I'm convinced that you really have been framed.
That sounds almost too good to be true. Outside of Piney and Mahogany, well, you're the first person who didn't think I was a double-dyed villain. You don't know what a boost it gives you to, well, to have someone believe in you.
Yes, I think I do. And I want to help you. But you have to help me.
Oh, if Aunt I'd say he's helped us already. He certainly helped me anyway.
Well, I couldn't see you get chopped up in that wheel, and yet I knew that I'd have to ruin my rifle to save you. It was about the toughest decision I ever made.
Tell me, do you know who opened the valve and let the water into the wheel?
No. I didn't trust you two, and I thought I'd follow you when you left Mahogany's and see what you were up to. And then all of a sudden, the wheel started to turn, and there wasn't time to go up and find out who opened the valve.
How far up the mountain is the valve located?
Ooh, about 200-300 yards. There's an old concrete dam up there, and the water's brought down through an old-fashioned wooden pipe. You can see the pipe coming down the mountain through an open end of the mill.
And the joker who turned on the water could see me get into the wheel through that same open end.
And he also undoubtedly saw Forrest Green come in and save you. So whoever it is we're fighting knows by now that we've teamed up with Forrest Green.
And when that news gets back to Cutter Down, I'll bet he loses 4 of his 5 remaining hairs.
You don't think, then, that it's Cutter who turned the water on?
No. No, Cutter would have lost his head and started shooting when he saw our scheme backfire. But this fella doesn't seem to enjoy being shot back at. He got out fast enough yesterday when you fellas threw a little lead in his direction.
And you have no idea who it could be?
Nope. It's not a real woodsman, which practically eliminates everyone but Owen Doe. And somehow I can't see old Budget Head as a crafty killer.
Well, we've got to find out who it is, and soon. Now, here's what I propose to do.
$100, $107, $134. That makes $186,000. Bad. Very bad. Let's see. That makes a deficit of almost...
That's this soliloquy that I seem to be disturbing.
Oh, I was just totaling up a few figures, and they aren't good.
They can wait. I want to talk about something really important.
This is important, Cutter. You're losing money, and you're losing it fast.
How far in the red am I?
$186,000 since last July. That was when you refinanced with that last big bank loan.
Yes, I know. Why are we doing so badly, Owen?
Poor production, mainly. You're not getting the stuff out fast enough. And that last log jam certainly didn't help.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. Forrest Green had to be eliminated from the scene, or I stood to lose a lot more than $186,000. I stood to lose everything.
Yes, but the jam didn't get rid of Forrest Green. And now he's teamed up with Tracy and Patton. Looks like you'll have to think up some scheme to get rid of all three of them.
Owen, that's what I came here to talk to you about.
Eh?
I have thought up several good schemes, and you've messed up every blessed one of them.
I've just had unusually bad luck lately.
Yes.
Could I help it if the log jumped over their heads? Or if that inferno Forrest Green had to turn up in time to save Patton from the water wheel?
Excuses! Seems to me that you're the most unskilled killer that I've ever had on the payroll.
I did get Pierre, remember?
Well, how could you miss with poor old Pierre standing out in the moonlight and me twisting his hound's tail and making him holler so you'd be sure and know where we were? And anyway, I told you not to kill Pierre, just to wing him.
He made such a good target that I couldn't resist.
Oh, you make me sick. When I kill, it's something to be proud of. Take Axel Tree, for instance.
But he drowned accidentally when the log jam broke up.
Yes, that's what everybody thought. But you remember that it was Axel who caused the log jam on my orders, and I wanted to make sure that he didn't talk. And so when I got the chance, I drowned him with my own 2 hands as we fought in the icy waters.
You sound like a bad translation of a French epic poem.
I'd be a little careful how you talk to me, Owen. My record in homicide is slightly better than yours.
I suppose I ought to be terrified, but I'm not. And if you ever try to get me out of the way, you'd better be sure you succeed the first time.
Yes?
Yes. What I know about you would make really wonderful reading. How you killed old Beaver Hogany and forged the lease. How you set fire to the cabin and burned up Piney Wood's parents. And when Piney herself survived and grew up, how you tried to marry her.
Stop it, Owen. I've heard enough. And let me remind you of one thing. There was one other man who knew all those things.
That's right. Axel Tree.
Yes, and he's dead. And that leaves only you. And when you're dead, there'll be no one who knows about it. No one.
That's always assuming that I don't get you first.
Oh, no, no. That's the beautiful part of it. I have everything to gain from your death, and so, eventually, I'll bring that about. But you have nothing to gain from mine, and that money-grubbing little soul of yours will force you to keep me alive in the hope that you can squeeze some blackmail out of me, which, of course, you can't. What a delightful situation.
Awfully smug. Awfully sure, aren't you?
That's right. And now suppose we drop this unhappy subject. I have no intention of eliminating you from the scene yet. You're far too useful to me, but only as a business manager, mind you.
You think you're smart?
I'm quite sure of it. Owen, my old and trusted friend, I am through fooling. Dick Tracy and Pat Patton and Forrest Green have arrived at the end of their respective trails because I am taking over.
I'm sure they'd be interested to know that.
No, Owen, they wouldn't. They wouldn't like to know what I have in store for them.
In a moment, we'll return to Dick Tracy. But first, kids, what does Saturday mean to you? Well, no school probably pops up in your mind first. And that's followed by fun. Everybody likes to have fun on Saturdays. Well, here's an extra special way to enjoy yourselves every Saturday morning. Just gather around that radio of yours and listen to the Abbott and Costello Kids Show. Now, here's a show that was designed just for you. With those famous comedians Abbott and Costello up to all sorts of hilarious goings-on. Abbott and Costello conduct a whole bunch of contests on their Saturday morning fun fest. Why don't you see if you can outguess the contestants on the air? And in addition to this, you'll hear from many of your favorite stars of stage, screen, and radio. Stars like old Butch Jenkins and Margaret O'Brien. And here's the biggest feature of all of them. Each week, there'll be a Lou Costello Award of the Week. A $500 bond will go to the boy or girl who has performed the outstanding deed of the week. It sounds like a lot of excitement, doesn't it? Well, it is. Every Saturday morning, when the Abbott and Costello Kids Show gets underway, it means prizes and surprises galore. So be around your radio tomorrow morning and every Saturday morning for the Abbott and Costello Kids Show on most ABC stations. And now back to Dick Tracy.
Dick, I wonder what Cutter Down's up to. He's been awful quiet lately.
Too quiet, Pat. He's up to something, and I don't like it. I think we'd better keep our eyes open.
And indeed they had, if they intend to catch him. Well, we'll Cutter Down strike next. Better be sure to tune in Monday for the adventures of Dick Tracy. This is George Gunn speaking. Here's one story in which a $10 investment really paid off. It's the story of Lassie, the celebrated collie, star of ABC's Sunday afternoon series. Lassie was just an ordinary pooch called Pal until Rud Weatherwax, the noted dog trainer, took over. Although he'd purchased Pal for only $10, he thought the dog could be groomed and trained for possible movie stardom. And eventually, Pal, or Lassie, was a movie star, rivaling the late Rin Tin Tin in popularity. On Lassie, the unique program written around the collie, you hear stories of a dog's courage and understanding. Don't miss Lassie every Sunday afternoon on most ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.